Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowingTrees' 30-day Alive and Thrive Guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana. That's FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana.
Before I leave for California, I want to briefly speak about what's happening in Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Today, thanks to the quick action of my administration over the past few days, Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe. Your deposits will be there when you need them. Small businesses across the country, the deposit accounts at these banks can breathe easier knowing they'll be able to pay their workers and pay their bills.
Today is the day the Lord has made. These are the times through which God has decided we shall live. And if I sound familiar, my name is Todd Herman. You probably heard my voice. I did national radio filling in for Rush Limbaugh for about 8 years. God bless you, Rush. Thank you for that. And to be in the Dana Show is an incredible honor. You heard the voice of a guy that I call the figurehead. So Joe Biden. Now, to be fair, I mean, they did take some action. But the statement about the banking system being safe and secure and something we can count on, in large part, okay, let's say that's true. But where are the actual holes? Because the holes in the banking system are not necessarily the structural issues that we had with the housing scam, which was, remember, that was big government, that was big business coming together as one. Hey, that sounds like the pharma thing, doesn't it? And that led to this incredible crash. But the systemic problems now, at least in Silicon Valley Bank, appear to be along the order of the old saying that people are policy. And it is a people issue. And that is a clear offshoot of the theory of the people who run Joe Biden. And if you're new to me as a host, I refer to Joe Biden as a figurehead. Not trying to be disrespectful towards the office, but trying to be accurate. It is self-evident that he is not running things. So I just like to use clear language. So the FDIC, they step in and they take control of that bank. But what about the hiring procedures? Like, you can't regulate that enough or at all, nor should you, to get away from how this kind of all unfolded. And the figurehead made mention of quick action. Well, how quick was it? Let's see what Democrat Bob Menendez says in Cut One about that.
We start with the banking committee. I invited you on before all of this happened. Have you gotten a briefing over the weekend? And what's your sense of what we can expect tomorrow morning?
Well, Chuck, I have not gotten a briefing yet.
That's sort of indicative of not particularly fast action. And he's the head of the Senate Banking Committee for the Democrats. He should know. Because when you get a big bank like this, you know the ripple effect. We saw a second bank, shut down. And the Fed does this. They'll go through and say, okay, who else are in these financial positions? But that's the thing I want to talk about is the financial position. Because that's done by people. Yes, there's algorithms. But algorithms are programmed by people. I got some inside information on this, not inside Silicon Valley Bank, but one step removed. A friend of mine, business partner, a guy named Zach Abraham, runs a company called Bulwark Capital Management. And it's a financial firm. He's a fiduciary. And he had a startup. He's on the board of a startup. They had banked there. So they were through the weekend trying to figure out their exposure. And I'll share with you in a second what Zach says. But it's not just laziness. It is laziness compounded by hubris. One of the things I say about life, and particularly about life in the power centers, is the worst possible traits you can combine in any leader is ignorance and arrogance. And I would add to that then hubris, which is an offshoot of arrogance. There is Jim Cramer plays an important role in this because what Cramer's going to say, this is a couple months ago, that Cramer was talking about Silicon Valley Bank as one of the 10 stocks he was watching, effectively said it was fine, but he's not able to see the structural issue perpetrated by people or policy. You'll hear Cramer here in Cut 2.
The ninth best performer year to date is SVB Financial, don't yawn. This company's a merchant bank with a deposit base that Wall Street had been mistakenly concerned about. SVB is the old Silicon Valley Bank. Recently bought one of our favorite research firms, Buffett Nathanson, and it's become less dependent upon private equity and venture capitalist offerings. Wait a second. Those dried up last year, they could come back. Yes, some of the comeback here with the stock directly affects an oversold position. Stock was the fourth worst performer in 2022. I think the fears were not justified, and it's a very compelling situation. Hey, by the way, long-term private equity and venture capital, they're not going away.
No, it's not going away, but it disappeared for a little while. And this is the first piece. This is the first domino. So as Zach explained this to me and other people probably explained, you had the startups there, and just full disclosure, I had two of my startups, bank with Silicon Valley Bank. So, and by the way, they're a very good bank. And they are just completely dominated by startup monies. And Silicon Valley is very much a club you have to be a member to join. Sometimes you sneak in the back door like me, but basically you have to be a member to join the club. And so with all that money, in the form of venture capital, as interest rates began to skyrocket, and that was an action of the Fed, and that was an action undertaken to protect the figurehead Biden, to make the economy appear okay, you had venture capital then begin to dry up. So you had all these startups with all this money in Silicon Valley Bank. Now they started to draw down on that. So that would be alert number one. Now, if you had a risk management team, no, I didn't slip. That wasn't a slip of the tongue. If you had a risk management team, or a risk management, to be more accurate, a risk management boss, that would be kind of the first thing. Hey, we're going to see some decrease in our balances because startups are beginning to draw down on investment capital because they're not receiving new rounds of financing. So that would be caution point number one. Please keep that in mind. Now, Cramer should have known that. But there's something else that he's incapable of seeing, and that has to do with people or policy. So the budget director for the figurehead, Shalonda Young, she wasn't particularly adept at assuring Americans that everything's going to be okay, as you'll hear right here in cut number three.
You can't tell the American people this morning, because I think this has caused a lot of concern, that the U.S. banking system is safe and secure.
I think the voice here is our Treasury Secretary, who is our lead and working with regulators. That's the appropriate person we should listen to here and who's tracking this the most closely. But again, what I will say is after the financial crisis, the reforms put in place have given regulators more tools, and our system is more resilient and the foundation stronger because of.
Okay, so here's where we get to people or policy. For about 9 months, Silicon Valley Bank operated without a risk management boss. Now, in the corporate world, you would say if it's not measured, it can't be improved. I would say this. If no one is responsible, it's going to crash. Because if you don't have a single point of contact, or you might say single point of failure, then that's going to, you know, failure has no adoptive parents. So they're about 9 months without a risk management lead. So they jobbed it out. From America, they sent it over to the UK. Now, at this time, they had been invested in mortgages to the tune of $88 billion. Now, the way I understand this, and again, you can go to my podcast, The Todd Herman Show. You get that wherever you get podcasts. Or just go to thetoddhermanshow.com. And we did a quick video last night, me and Zach, on this. They had about $200 billion, which sounds like, how do you lose that? Well, then, if you ask that, go look at the careers of Mick Fleetwood and David Crosby and all these guys who have to tour to make up the, you know, hundreds of millions that they lost. Different story here. They invested $88 billion of their $200 billion into mortgages. They bought it between 1.7% and 3%. I know that sounds like a lot of numbers. As mortgage rates went up, they went underwater. And the risk manager, well, she jumped into action. The adoptive risk manager, and I'm not trying to screw up her name, it's just hard for me to say, Jay Esparapa from the UK. Now, Jay's focus appears to be being a woman who is sexually attracted to other women. Full stop. And you read her writings or how she's presented at SVP, at Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, pardon me. It's all about that. And she had apparently been overseeing a month-long effort to remind the world that women who are sexually attracted to women exist, because we had forgotten that. Because I read this, oh, that's right. I had utterly forgotten that that was the case. So that's a very helpful thing. Unless your bank is dying. So when they bought in at 1.7 or 2.8, they could have hedged their bets at 3%, at 3.25%, at 3.5, anywhere along the line. It is finance 101 at that level to not put yourself out, to hang out almost half your capital without a cover, without a hedge. That's what Zach explained to me. But she was very busy. Now, here's where it gets worse in my judgment. These guys had committed $5 billion to a so-called sustainable economy fund. $5 billion. Doesn't sound like a lot of money until you understand this. According to my source, it would have taken them $1 billion to hedge their risk on $88 billion. They would have been fine if they bought $1 billion in what's called volatility. People are policy. The Home Depot co-founder, he's warning that more things could be happening like this, as you'll hear in Cut 4.
I can't wait for Biden to get on the speech again and talk about how great the economy is. And how it's moving forward and getting stronger by the day. And this is an indication that whatever he says is not true. And maybe the American people will finally wake up and understand that we're living in very tough times. That, in fact, the recession may have already started. Who knows? But it doesn't look good. And I feel bad for all these people that lost all their money in this woke bank. You know, it was more distressing to hear that the bank officials sold off their stock before this happened. It's depressing to me.
It's Todd Herman in on the Dana Show. Remember, you can go to danalash.com and subscribe to Chapter and Verse newsletter. We come back. It's the Quick Five, and it's a good one.
March Meatness is here, and Good Ranchers has your chance to win free meat. Sign up and fill out your March Meatness bracket at goodranchers.com/March. And if your bracket is best, you win free 100% American Steakhouse quality meat for a year. Subscribe any day this month for free bacon added to your order and select your meat. Get free bacon, and if your bracket wins, it will all be free for the next year. And if you don't win, well, I mean, you still get free bacon with every order, and it's shipped free straight to your door. So that sounds like a win-win. Order today and use code Dana to get an additional $20 off your first order. A chance to win free meat, free bacon, and $20 off. It's madness. Head to goodranchers.com/March to sign up and fill out your bracket. Subscribe to claim free bacon and use code Dana for $20 off the best meat America has to offer. Visit goodranchers.com/March and use code Dana. That's goodranchers.com/March. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
With the lab leak theory more prevalent, there's footage showing government officials like Dr. Fauci directly lying to you. With the continued mistrust of government officials on top of the lack of confidence in the FBI, where do we go from here and how does it affect you?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, it's Todd Herman filling in for Dana on The Dana Show. And might sound familiar. Probably heard me on national radio before and maybe my podcast, which is at thetoddhermanshow.com. Incredible honor to be here. And I can't believe I get to say these words on Dana's own show. Let's roll the theme for the Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
out of my former state of Washington State, and we had to flee. We just, I couldn't put up with the battle, had to keep my family safe. And really, families aren't safe there. But dig this. I know that Dana obviously is an expert on firearms. Here's two stories, back to back, same legislative session. I should give some context. They just tried to pass a bill in Washington State called 1333, and that would have jailed you for wrong speak. So just have that context. They have passed through the House, and it's headed to the Senate, an assault weapons, so-called assault weapons ban. So they want the gun in your safe. The AR-15, and the AP pretends that's what people are using for all the crime. It's not true, you know that. Same legislative session. They decided to decrease the amount of time that drive-by shooters will spend in prison, and get this, and school shooters. They're doing away with what's called stacking, where if you go murder a bunch of kids, you also get charged with a firearm crime. Now, that's no longer served at the same time. That'll get people out of jail, out of prison sooner. Now, I don't know what they're doing on the scissors front, because this is very serious. There's a woman accused of stabbing her ex-boyfriend. He was sleeping. She stabbed him 19 times. And I don't mean to be, awful, but I wonder at what point you wake up when you're being stabbed. And maybe you just can't bring it together that, hey, I'm getting stabbed with scissors over here. 19 times. Now, she said it was a dream, and now she pleads insanity. Now, if this was the state of Washington, the question would be, yeah, but what race is she? Because then that could mitigate everything. In Georgia, a man got crushed to death. He was out stealing catalytic converters. There's an art to this. Now, on the West Coast, people know the art to this. I'm not kidding. They can get a catalytic converter out of your car on the left coast in about 15 seconds. So it might be that they need to do an exchange program. You know, like the PLO and Hamas had done an exchange program with some of the founders of Black Lives Matter Incorporated, because they share the same struggle, because we're the same thing as Hamas. So maybe there needs to be an exchange program. But yeah, he got crushed in Georgia while trying to steal a catalytic converter. Now, this also, Washington, D.C., it's just functionally up the street from Georgia. It's kind of the same sort of crime theory, which is let it happen. Let the fentanyl flow, but only in some neighborhoods. Do not let it get near the Capitol, nor don't let the crime near the Capitol. You can't have that, although it kind of seeped through this way. There was an attempted carjacking. At least that's nothing new, but it happened to be within sight of a left-wing mob that was demanding reduced penalties for carjacking. So you would hope, and this is a morbid hope, that maybe some of the people who took their mom and dad's cars to that event, maybe it was one of their cars who got jacked. Because then I can see them running down the street going, no, but we're with you in the struggle. We're with you in the struggle. What are you doing? This is another day in the nation's capital. Speaking of that, when we continue on the Dana Show, Tony Fauci's triggered. And he's triggered because there's calls for him to go to prison. So are these calls irresponsible? This would give me an opportunity to work on my Fauci imitation, because I'm very, very tempted. I actually have Nancy Pelosi's home number. I'm tempted to call her as Tony. Nancy, I've been thinking about you a lot. It's Todd Herman filling in on The Dana Show.
I've talked a lot about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun over the years, and it's no secret how much I love it. It's become the go-to shotgun for law enforcement and home defense, and for a really good reason. But why am I such a huge fan of the Kel-Tec KSG? Well, like everything that Kel-Tec invents, it created an entirely new class of shotgun. And the one that started it all is the KSG shotgun. It's the first 12-gauge pump-action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells. And with its dual tube mags, offers a capacity of 12 plus 1. So that's 6 rounds in each tube, plus 1 chambered. If you prefer 2 3/4-inch shells, even better, because the KSG holds 7 plus 7 plus 1. That's 15 shells. You cannot ignore the downward shell ejection either. It makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's brilliant design. See the Kel-Tec KSG up close and personal at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Again, to find out more, visit KelTecWeapons.com.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
Hey, it's Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show. And if you know, on guest host days, it's so important to make sure that you're subscribed to the Dana Show podcast. Get that on Apple, wherever you get podcasts, because you're going to want your hit of the actual host. I get that totally. And I am a geek for all things Fauci. This is, in fact, the leading. This is what led into me becoming the most shadow banned so-called media figure on Twitter. It's just remarkable the way they just buried me. And I take it as a sign of honor that I'm still buried, even with Elon Musk there. Fauci is, to me, I refer to him as America's favorite expert on being a psychopath. And I don't throw that word around. I don't go around looking at people saying, you're a psychopath, until there's sort of, you know, a series of behaviors that are consistently psychopathic. So Fauci's trigger, we're going to get to this in a second, because there's calls to put him in prison. And at this point, it's coming from people with real influence. And he considers it wildly irresponsible because he's confused as to why anyone would do that. You'll hear the clip. But I would like to boil down to a couple of things, what I think he did in terms of behavior, to have everybody recall this as if we didn't live through it for 3 years. But I think there's something, there's the kind of three instances that boil down Fauci-isms to me. Number one, he's on media, he's, you know, talking to people, and someone asks him, hey, you know, a mom was talking about her kid. He went and he got the injections, and he ended up getting his throat closed up, and he had to get injected with, you know, stuff to clear his throat up, and he couldn't breathe and had this anaphylactic shock. So what should he do? What would you say to this mother? This is almost spot on what Fauci said. Well, I would wait for the swelling in the throat to go down, certainly, but then I would go get injected again. Now, if you were to say that about peanuts, you know, doctor, our kid ate peanuts and his throat closed up and he got anaphylactic shock and he couldn't breathe. What should we do? Well, I would wait until he digested that round of peanuts and then try peanut butter. That's a Fauciism. There's this. That when gain of function became clear that this happened, and Senator Paul did a great job bringing that to the fore, you had Fauci change the definition. Well, just because we added function, you could say adding the gain of function to something doesn't mean that it was gaining function. Which mimics his, we don't have immune systems, which was another Fauciism. So in specific here, I'll address his being triggered, and you'll hear him, the actual Fauci, here in Cut 6.
Well, I mean, there's no response to that craziness, Jim. I mean, prosecute me for what? What are they talking about? I mean, I wish I could figure out what the heck they were talking about. I think they're just going off the deep end. That's the answer to your first question. It doesn't make any sense to say something like that, and it actually is irresponsible. Of course it's going to have a difficult effect and a deleterious effect on my family. I mean, they don't like to have me getting death threats all the time. Every time somebody gets up and spouts some nonsense that's misinformation, disinformation, and outright lies, somebody somewhere decides...
Okay. Let's parse that just a little bit. The swine flu vaccine created 3 deaths in people, and it was stopped. We are in far, far beyond that. Hundreds of thousands, some counts millions of deaths. Some counts. Let's say it's 100,000. Let's say it's 10,000. Let's say it's 5,000. For an injection that didn't stop transmission or infection and never could have because of its original antigenic sin? All right. Maybe that's not a jailable offense. I think it is. But he broke a presidential order. You don't get to send taxpayer money to the Chinese Communist Party to do gain-of-function research. And he comes back and says, well, then I'll change the definition of that and launder the money through EcoHealth Alliance. Then technically, I'm not doing it. Mom, I didn't steal your car. My friend did, then brought it to me. Got it. So that's what he could be jailed for in my mind, but I'm not a prosecutor. Oh, how about this? And we'll talk about this next hour. If you did not have an opportunity to watch the Twitter hearings, it's difficult to have things breathtaking in this media environment because so much could be and should be breathtaking. But you found out that our government sponsored worked with NGOs, non-government organizations, that were very, what I call, mobbed up. They all, so many of them came out of the CIA and the FBI, or they came out of Department of Homeland Security, and they team up with academia, and they create these, they're not think tanks, they're stop-talking tanks, they're shut-up tanks. And they take these shut-up tanks, and they apply them to social media, and we know this because of Twitter, and the Twitter files, and God bless Elon Musk for releasing that information. And we know this now, but it's still happening at Facebook, et cetera. And I think it happens in the Mockingbird media. That is television media. That's my belief. And I'll put some evidence behind that in just a second. We learned that the government knew that people were sharing true stories of having been injured by the injections. They said, yeah, these are true. But we can't let people know this is happening. In other words, we can't have informed consent. We can't arm parents with the knowledge that this stuff isn't going to help their kids and is, in fact, very harmful and sometimes deadly. You can't be jailed for that. You're selling something in a store, and let's say a kid comes in and decides to drink antifreeze because it's pretty. If you don't step in and say, that will kill it. Well, antifreeze is pretty, but it's not a vaccine. Neither are these. That word means something. So I certainly don't want to hear Fauci's family being threatened. They did nothing. That's not a godly thing. We don't do that. Incidentally, speaking of God, he's pro-free speech. You ever notice that? Because you can say what you want, but he's also pro-accountability. I said I would put some evidence behind this, the Mockingbird media, and why I think there's a control factor here. Glenn Youngkin was a recipient of a great gift of activist parents going after the perverse pornographic sex ed in the schools and the racism being taught in the schools. And he made the decision to endorse what are called gender-neutral bathrooms, as you hear in Cut 5.
As a family.
So, Governor, I want to bring in Nico, a 17-year-old student from Arlington. Nico?
Governor Youngkin, your transgender model policies would require that students play on the sports teams and use the restrooms that correspond with their sex assigned at birth. Look at me. I am a transgender man. Do you really think that the girls in my high school would feel comfortable sharing a restroom with me?
Yep. So first of all, Nico, thank you for, again, asking the question, being here tonight, and engaging in this important discussion. I believe first, when parents are engaged with their children, then you can make good decisions together. And I met your dad, and I'm glad that you're both here together. That's really, really important. I also think that there are lots of students involved in this decision. And what's most important is that we try very hard to accommodate students. That's why I have said many, many times, we just need extra bathrooms in schools. We need gender-neutral bathrooms, and so people can use a bathroom that they, in fact, are comfortable with. I think sports are very clear, and I don't think it's controversial. I don't think that biological boys should be playing sports with biological girls.
I have this advice for the governor. Please don't use the language of your opponent. Please don't do that. Love that you celebrated the family relationship. Love that you created or tried to a human connection with this kid who was there to set you up. But you gotta speak truth. We have to speak truth and grace. So I might say something like, Nico, I know that this is very important for you. I met your parents earlier. So glad to see your folks together here with you. And just, it's nice to see that. Nico, I firmly disagree that people are assigned the sex at birth. Sex is testable, observable, falsifiable. It's a reality. It's not something people are assigned any more than a fruit is assigned its name or gravity is assigned its role. It happens. So I know that you and I differ on that, and I'm so glad that we get to have this interchange. Also, in terms of sports, boys, please don't use biological boys. When you do that, you are ceding ground to the opponent. When you say that, you're suggesting that there's something other than a biological boy. So just state flat out. Boys have mechanical advantages. They have heart size advantages. They have oxygen exchange advantages. They have a series of advantages, more lean muscle tissue. Be educated on this stuff. And then to offer the gender-neutral bathrooms, I guess that's a policy thing, but again, you're ceding this territory. Now, how does this relate to what I promised to tell you? When this stuff began to gain notice, and some of us, like at my podcast, we talk a lot about this because I've been talking about the transgender lie for a decade, right? So you can get that at thetoddhermanshow.com. A lot of us in tracking this noticed the unanimous approach to the Mockingbird media. Instantly, there were such a thing as people born in the wrong body. instantly sex was assigned, instantly. I tried to take to some of the best investigative reporters in the country, and this was, again, 8 years ago, stories of families whose kids had been medically kidnapped to be gender-jacked. No one wanted to play. I was told by two consecutive investigative reporters, I'm told this is too hot to handle. Even if I make the piece, they're going to spike it. That was sort of national policy in newsrooms for the longest period of time. And this is what's fascinating. Want to know one of the entities that helped push the lie of transgenderism so far into society? It's the Center for Disease Control, which is effectively a pharmaceutical company. It's also the World Health Organization, the same organization that pretended that we don't have immune systems by virtue of saying herd immunity can only happen through pharma. So the Twitter files proved a lot. There's an infrastructure for censorship. It also proved that there are people who want that censorship and they're getting it. And to think it only happened at Twitter, I find that fanciful thinking. It's Todd Herman filling in on The Dana Show. We'll come back with an effort the DOJ's making to put a guy in prison for making a meme.
Folks, are you concerned about American K through 12 education? Are you worried about what your children or grandchildren are learning or not learning in school? So if you've answered yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. You've heard me talk about how Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. And now they're offering you 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis, entitled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arne. This special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education and why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children learn. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis to your community. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Act today and join the battle over education for our country's future. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
That is a great rejoinder. I love that. It's Todd Herman filling in for Dana. And I get it. Guest host stuff. There's lots of place to get Dana to get your fix. You can see Dana live on YouTube, Facebook, DirecTV, Channel 349 via the First TV app. You can also go to danalash.com, subscribe to Chapter and Verse, which is her newsletter on Substack, a free speech zone. We need free speech zones. Got to have this. I'd say it's Todd Herman filling in for Dana. So the DOJ has been going after a young man for free speech. And I argued with this guy years ago on Twitter. And to be perfectly frank, I didn't find him to be a wonderfully warm or nice human being. I didn't enjoy the exchange. His name is Doug Mackey. He became really, really social media famous under the name The Ricky Vaughn. And he is brilliant at making memes. And at Twitter, he's one of the best. So he made a couple of memes that made fun of Hillary voters, and you'd think that's where it stops. One of these memes, hashtag I'm with her, hashtag go Hillary, is a picture of a woman and a Hillary sign. It says, avoid the line, vote from home, text Hillary to 59925. Vote Hillary and be a part of history. And he did a good job of making it look rather official. So Merrick Garland, who is a very dangerous paper bully, and don't let his physical manifestations of weakness fool you, revolution.news, probably revolver.news, does a great job of talking about that in this piece. The DOJ is charging this guy as a stochastic terrorist. They are comparing him to the KKK. They're using, in fact, some of the same law constructs as they used to go after the KKK, to go after a guy for posting memes. They're saying that he violated people's civil rights by posting memes. In their case, the DOJ is relying upon a confidential witness. So certainly Douglas Mackey will get to question that confidential witness, right? No. The DOJ says if they were to let Douglas Mackey's lawyers question that confidential witness, the confidential witness might be made fun of on Twitter. No, that's I'm not kidding. In the Twitter hearings, we talked about that last segment. One of the congressmen said that we need to save the democracy, they call it, by ruining the democracy. We need to save free speech by destroying it. And Hillary Clinton has something interesting to say that's sort of related to this. You'll hear her in clip number 21.
Well, I am hopeful that it continues, Joe, because I think, as we just heard, this is a war of aggression and invasion. The behavior of the invaders has been barbaric, and it really is a war for not just the freedom of the Ukrainian people, although that is first and foremost. It is a war for our values, for what we believe should be the birthright of every person.
The birthright. Well, what a fascinating thing for Hillary to say. The birthright, our speech. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The word. We get to speak it. God is pro-free speech, but Hillary's party is most remarkably not free speech, up to and including putting a man in prison for having made a meme. And I would add, number one, it's entertaining, if not somewhat depressing, to see the Mockingbird media turning to Hillary Clinton for advice on on advice on fighting foreign wars, at least through proxy, because of her track record, of course, in Benghazi, which is stellar, unless you consult the people who, you know, got killed defending the place. Not as stellar. But it's also remarkable to note what's going on in Ukraine. And I remain torn about this war. I am not a fan of Vlad Putin. I'm not a fan of Zelensky. And in that way, I don't feel like I have a particular big dog in the hunt. And I'm not invested in biolabs. Hunter Biden never asked me to invest. I wouldn't have. Would you? But in that country, they're busily going through and banning specific versions of faiths, Christian faiths and others. They're soaking up the media properties to make them the property of government. Well, I guess maybe that is the values she's talking about. Maybe Hillary's values are different than ours, although we already knew that, didn't we? The Congress had a rare moment of actual bipartisanship, which sometimes is good, but so often is terrible. They voted 419-0 to declassify the intelligence information on the origins of the COVID flu. So we'll talk about that and what I think that means. It's Todd Herman from the ToddHermanShow.com in on The Dana Show.
Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. So if you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Resolve now to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. The Patriot Mobile 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Will the president sign the legislation that would declassify information about the origins of COVID?
So, look, I know that it was just passed, if I remember correctly, it was just passed out of the House today, right? So we're taking a look at the bill. We have continued to share information, as I've mentioned many times before, with members of Congress. And as you know, the first few months of the president's administration, he came into office, he directed the intelligence community to declassify information assessing COVID origins and to make that report public to Americans people. To the American people, because we know and he understands how important it is to get to the bottom of COVID origins. We will continue to use every tool to figure out what happened here while also protecting classified information. Again, we're going to take a look at the bill. I just don't have anything to share on how we're going to move forward at this time.
Also passed it unanimously. So why would President Biden not something that we're literally gonna, got no opposition in Congress?
I totally understand. It is the right of the President of the United States to look at the legislation that is going to be coming before him.
fascinating discussion on this day the Lord has made. And I'm grateful for the times through which God has decided we will live. It's Todd Herman, honored to fill in for Dana. 419-0 is not the normal thing. And I tend to be suspicious of bipartisanship out of Washington, D.C., because so often bipartisanship is, let's raise the debt ceiling. Well, we don't have a debt ceiling. That's, ceilings don't get raised all the time. Let's give $200 billion to Ukraine eventually. Yeah, but we're broke. We're functionally a debtor nation. So I tend to be pretty suspicious of bipartisanship. In this case, it's very different. Actually, no. No, it's not for me. And maybe this is just me being unduly suspicious and unduly cynical in terms of Washington, D.C. I did work there for 2 years. And I know that's a very, very brief time. And I'm not Dana, who's been, you know, in and around it forever and knows it far, far better than I do. But my sense of things in D.C. is that there's a very, very different morality than the rest of the country. And in terms of 419-0, I categorize this way. It would be nice to know where the COVID flu came from. I believe it came from the lab. I believe it's an engineered virus. There's a number of reasons that I've grown to believe that. Part of that is because I am unbelievably geeked out by this stuff. And I spent time around immunologists and epidemiologists and was very, very early on suspicious of the lockdowns and the whole approach to that. And so early on, supporter of the Great Barrington Declaration, had a lot of the doctors on that you hear about now. Scott Atlas was one of the first people to have him on the program. Because it never made sense. None of it ever matched up to common sense. So I'd like to know if it came out of the lab. I would love to know for a fact that it's engineered. That's important. But in terms of the leak and the origin, that's a nice to have. And I'll tell you why. Because we're not going to do anything about it. If this came out of the Chinese Communist Party, and let's say that's a lab leak. Let's say that it was a well-meaning lab leak. They just messed up. We're not going to do anything about that. And also, they're never going to get to the point where we're going to be willing to say this was purposeful. Now, for the other reason for me on this, why I am not so thrilled about that, or as the priority, I should say, there's other things to me that are far more serious to understand. And let me remind you of something that was recently said, because I don't know that this broke through a lot of the media fog. There's a guy in the UK, his name is Matt Hancock. He's a public health official. In fact, he's the health minister, so-called. This is a phrase you never want to hear from a health minister in relation to an upper respiratory virus. And I quote, when do we release the variant? This was in a conversation with another bureaucrat, and the topic of conversation was, how do we more sufficiently scare people in Britain to get them to comply with lockdowns and masking and continue to get injected with a useless injection that has no upside, but only downside? How do we do that? Well, when did we release the variant? Now, the guy I was talking with didn't go, LOL. Oh, gosh, LOL, that's funny. Yeah, well, that's us. No, he said, I think we need to be cautious on that, paraphrasing that part. We need to be cautious on that. What? That would be something worth getting to the bottom of. You mean, what did you mean by that? It'd be worth getting to the bottom of this. What point did the CDC decide to depart their own knowledge base? They had authored the biggest study at that point, a meta-analysis of a study of studies. It was a meta-analysis of peer-reviewed studies that showed categorically that masks did not stop the transmission of the COVID flu. And when I say a meta-analysis of meta-analyses, this was actual lab-confirmed influenza in people, and they showed that in each and every case, in small apartments, on, believe it or not, a pilgrimage to Mecca, it didn't stop it there, it didn't stop it in small apartments, it didn't stop it. At what point, what was the origin of the decision to not, to pretend that masks work? You know what we think it is? There's a New York Times editorial, go back in the day, from a sociologist that indicates it was a sociologist saying, you have to say universal masking, otherwise it's not fair. I want to know the origins of that. I want to know the origins of the decision to give our money to the Chinese Communist Party to do gain-of-function research. What was the thinking behind that? And then I want to know the origins of the decision that Fauci apparently made to avoid, to go around the executive order that Barack Obama, President Obama, inserted, which was you don't get to do this anymore. Fauci is pulling a Fauci, a classic Fauci move, now that it's out in public, that once again, we've got his emails. We understand that he actually called for a paper to disprove the lab theory, and then he got on stage and pretended, oh, hey, I just found this really interesting paper. No, you didn't. You paid for the paper. So listen to Fauci here now explain that this lab leak could come from natural origins, but maybe not, here in Cut 7.
So one of the things that people maybe don't fully appreciate, that all of the intelligence agencies agree unanimously that this was not engineered. Namely, they didn't deliberately do this to make a bioweapon. Everybody agrees with that. No matter what your prior thoughts were, everybody agrees with that. A lab leak could be that someone was out in the wild, maybe looking for different types of viruses and bats, got infected, went into a lab, and was being studied in the lab, and then it came out of the lab. But if that's the definition of a lab leak, Jim, then that still is a natural occurrence. The other possibility is someone takes a virus from the environment that doesn't actually spread very well in humans and manipulates it a bit, and accidentally it escapes or accidentally infects someone, and then you get an outbreak.
Fascinating, Fauci. He's so good. He should teach a class on dissembling and obfuscating. So he says, all the intelligence services agree, all of them, that this was not engineered, not released as a bioweapon. He conflates those two things. He conflates them. Not engineered isn't necessarily not, a bioweapon doesn't mean it's not necessarily engineered. Right? Because gain of function means, can we make it more virulent? And that we even do that is nuts. It's crazy. And then that we turn to the Chinese Communist Party, who has published a document saying, we intend to be the world's greatest experts at biological and chemical warfare. Well, let's fund that effort. So I'd love to know the origins of that. But then he follows on. You think about the probabilities here. You have a lab in Wuhan where they study viruses made, you know, largely taken from bats and other animals like that. They do gain of function, some of it with their taxpayer dollars, sometimes laundered through EcoHealth Alliance, as media reports indicate. And so viruses are all over that building. You have people using sharp things, needles, to take this bit of virus goo and insert it in this animal. And you could poke yourself. You could not do a good job of closing up your airtight suit, which is what you actually wear if you want to keep a virus out of your bloodstream. All that happens every day, countless. I mean, it's around the clock operation, maybe at least 8-10 hour shifts. So it's probably not that. It's probably someone probably went into a cave and breathed in bat air and then got sick and then went to work and then that was SARS-CoV-2. No. The probabilities don't match. See, my concern very early on, and why I want to get to the origins of the decision to depart any form of science, meaning scientific rigor, meaning the scientific process, meaning things like p-values. Are you able to make predictions from your science? If not, it's not science. And this is typified, I think, by Governor Whitmer talking here in hindsight about the lockdowns here in cut number 9.
There were moments where we, you know, had to make some decisions that, in retrospect, don't make a lot of sense, right? If you went into the hardware store, you could go in the hardware store, but we didn't want people, you know, all congregating around the gardening supplies. People said, oh, she's outlawed seeds. It was February in Michigan. No one was planting anyway. But that being said, you know, some of those policies, I look back and think, you know, that what maybe was a little more than we needed to do.
That would be amusing if the lockdowns didn't prove to be deadly and are not going to continue to be deadly with missed cancer appointments, missed stroke screenings, suicide, deaths of despair, anxiety, depression in teens, over adoption of pharmaceuticals and psychotropics to supposedly deal with all that. Hey, look, the pharma companies are back. But there's also this. You shut down seeds. You left open abortion clinics and liquor stores and buses. None of it ever made any sense. The origin I want is the origin of that decision We'll come back with the quick five on the Dana Show. This case, the transportation edition, is Todd Herman in for Dana Lash.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Hey, it's Todd Herman, honored to fill in for Dana on The Dana Show. By the way, if you've noticed that the bumper music here is extra rockish, the team behind the scenes, Steven is handling that, and I've learned that he is into music in his real life, so we have that. I want to thank the entire Dana Show team. Kane and Steve and everybody for putting up with me, and you guys putting up with me. Appreciate that. And I get to say this, roll the theme for the Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
It's all about priorities. And you have to admit, you know, when you're the chief executive of the country, you operate on priorities. You show me your budget, I'll show you your priorities. And don't bring to me any of the nonsense, because you don't mess with Joe. So Barack Obama told us all those years ago when Joe Biden was driving an 18-wheeler with his son. He went around the country solving crime. Oh, sorry, that was that show Moving On. You remember that? Remember when he said he drove an 18-wheeler? So in all defense of the figurehead Biden, he wasn't the first one to want to repaint Air Force One, but they've now... unveiled a new paint job. The President Trump had indicated it was going to be red, white, and blue. They want this to be blue, but one plan, this is the Biden people wanted to be blue. One plan I do agree with is these extra making the steps in Air Force One orange and black, because it's going to be a lot harder to fall up the stairs that way with our robust leader who has absolutely nothing cognitively amiss. That I do support with the new paint job. Unless we could make it translucent like the old Batman cartoon, but then again, we can see the people inside it. In a Biden golf course, there was an emergency landing of a single-engine airplane. And thank God no one was hurt, no one was injured. I don't know. I might be tempted at that point to say, let's do it again. Because no one got hurt. It's kind of a thrill. I've always flown a lot. In my old days in the corporate world, flew all the time. Made the mistake of being seated next to a guy who did accident investigations for 747s. That was not a fun flight because he told me, oh, all those fears you have, yeah, mate, those are real. A Georgia woman rammed her SUV into a restaurant, and I had read this to say, wow, that's unconscionable. That you would ram your SUV. And incidentally, I love the fact that it has to be by the media an SUV, because a car can't hurt you, but an SUV, it's a death machine. It's an assault car. So I first read the headline. I thought this is unforgivable. You don't. But then I found out that it was at a restaurant, Popeyes, and she did not get her biscuits. So I had to step back and think about that a little bit and have some empathy. There's a drunk driver. He stole a fire truck. He rammed into a house, and then a fire started, so he brought it back. Now, I don't know that he intended to fight the fire. He doesn't strike me as that sort of dude. Maybe he just got lost and decided to bring it back. But the police, they tested the guy, and actually he had substances in his blood. No, seriously, he was drunk and stoned and such. Mind blower. There's some new spacesuits that NASA has. It says it will allow us to live on the moon for the long term. These are also apparently quite useful for the CDC's new plans to have us wear these all around Earth so as to avoid ever being infected with anything. But then again, what if we could go to the moon? What if we could avoid all of that? Are there going to be elections? Are there going to be a political party up there? On the topic of politics, this transcends politics. We come back on the Dana Show. The Twitter hearings revealed that the government has a massive infrastructure for censoring you and me. It's us against them in a weird way. It's Todd Herman. You can get more at the ToddHermanShow.com. Thank you for letting me fill in on the Dana Show.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's the Dana Show.
That second in a row. I've been around radio my whole life, and to be amused by we call those imagers. That's such solid work. It's Todd Herman filling in for Dana. And I know about guest host day because I am a radio fanatic. So you want your regular host. This is really important. Subscribe to Dana's show, her podcast on Apple or Google, wherever you do that. You never miss her. And you can also subscribe to my podcast way down the priority list. I get that. The Todd Herman Show. But you can take that wherever you go. Obviously, you know that about podcasts. There is an infrastructure to censor Americans. And we talk about this a lot because I happen to be really in favor of free speech. Probably you are as well. But the degree to which this has been built is shocking. When you really study it and how far it's gone and the number of entities that are both making money doing this and splitting society apart, I have come to believe, and we'll get into the Twitter hearings, which is what we're talking about. I've come to believe that the effort isn't necessarily to block information from all of us. It is to segregate information. It is to block it off into separate parts of the world. So it's to partition it. And there's that old device in politics that's divide and conquer, right? There are some of us who are vitally aware of the fact that Secretary Mayorkas knew that was not a whip in the hands of the Border Patrol agent. The guy was simply steering his horse. A whole bunch of society, a big number of people in society don't know that. They never know that. They never found out that was not a whip. And this censorship enterprise keeps that in place. So you literally have people who are operating under different realities. You could do the same thing on gender ideology. You know, I had dinner the other night with a very dear loved one and was saying how disconcerting it is that kids can get this done in a couple of meetings. And my loved one said, oh, no, that takes years, years and years and years. And she's in the medical world. And I said, no, it doesn't. It takes a couple of meetings. So what we learned in the Twitter hearings is about this massive, massive infrastructure to partition information, to block us from having it. And we learned about the Democrats and other people who are fully in favor of this continuing. Representative Stacey Plaskett is talking to Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, two journalists. And listen to her priorities here in cut number 10.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not exaggerating when I say that you have called before you two witnesses who pose a direct threat to people who oppose them. It's funny when people have to go through that. Exactly. This is unacceptable. I'm ready for it. I don't know if a lot of other people are.
She is a non-voting member from the Virgin Islands that the Democrats, for some reason, have put onto an important position in this weaponizing government. She can't vote on the committee, but she can voice things like that. They're talking here about journalists who wrote things, and it's a direct threat because other people made threats. I get threats, too. They're not fun. Please don't threaten people. Those men are not direct threats. Matt Taibbi describes himself, and his career bears this out, as an ACLU liberal. They are this committed to not allowing debate, to partitioning information. Why? Because if you scratch at the surface of anything they say, it doesn't hold up anything they say. Joe Biden is a strong and vital leader.
Back when I was driving an 18-wheeler with my son, Bo.
No, you didn't do that. A boy's a girl if they say so. No. Our economy's robust. No, actually, if you count the unfunded liabilities, we're some $350 trillion in debt. That's never going to get paid back. Scratch at the surface. And the truth reveals itself. So they need to keep it partitioned. This is particularly shocking to me because we hear so much about disinformation and misinformation. And there's something that the people who practice this censorship grift, which is a censorship industry, which is a censorship infrastructure. And it is governments and state actors working with companies, which is called a joint state action, which is effectively the government deputizing a private company so that it is no longer really a private entity per se. It's acting in a joint action. It is doing what government can. And in fact, the people who run these organizations admit this. They admit government didn't have the legal authority to censor, so we did it for them. Guys, they never got the legal authority. But this is particularly shocking because it deals with what they call malinformation. This is something that the censors know is true. But we're just, bless our fuzzy little heads, we're just too stupid. We just couldn't get the nuance of it. Out here is us bumpkins feeding ourselves with the fingers off the ground. Hey, it's the three-day rule. That meat's only been on the ground 3 days, woman. So you'll hear in this clip the fact that they uncovered this censorship infrastructure, keeping you from knowing about actual true events here in Cut 11.
Quickly, we found just yesterday a tweet from the Virality Project at Stanford, which is partnered with a number of government agencies on Twitter, where they talked explicitly about censoring stories of true vaccine side effects and other true stories that they felt encouraged hesitancy. Now, the
censoring true.
Yeah, so they used the word true 3 times in this email. And what's notable about this is that it reflects the fundamental misunderstanding of this whole disinformation complex, anti-disinformation complex. They believe that ordinary people can't handle difficult truths. And so they think that they need minders to separate out things that are controversial or difficult for them. And that's, again, that's totally contrary to what America is all about.
And really, the significance of this is so utterly profound. I just had an interview with a gentleman who had to retire from the military against his will. I've done a lot of these interviews. You can see him at the ToddHermanShow.com. And he was a colonel and had been in command. It was his third tour of command. And he stepped down against his will. He was at least given the chance to retire because he wouldn't get injected. He just did a test of people for myocarditis, which is a swelling of the heart, very serious because a lot of it is asymptomatic. People don't know they have it. And then they get through a period of stress, like, you know, flying an airplane or waking up. Like, that's the heart shoots a bunch of hormones. We get a bunch of hormones in our heart when we're waking up. Epinephrine is one. Adrenaline is another. That's how you hear all these died suddenly in their sleeps, likely. That's why that's happening, likely. So there's a company called HeartCare Corp that can screen you. I don't have any financial relationship with them, by the way, that can screen you to find out if you have myocarditis. So they did this event. They screened people. This guy's name is Bill Sullivan. And they found 53% of people had myocarditis. 53%. Prior to this, myocarditis in a general population was a 1 in 1 million or 1 in 2 million event. So it's so significant that they block this information or partition it because there are hundreds of millions of people who've been injected with this stuff and they may have asymptomatic myocarditis. They could test for this on a test that actually works rather than the flawed PCR test. But right now, because this infrastructure of censorship has so successfully partitioned this information, you have people, you may be one of them, who's walking around with myocarditis, a swelling of the heart tissue. And there are actually things that have begun to mitigate that. But people don't know about it. Now, take this back to Stacey Plaskett, the non-voting member from the Virgin Islands. This is endemic of people who practice censorship. They themselves are the biggest liars. There was a woman who had been the Secretary of State in Washington State. She, and according to emails, my friend Amber's suing. She has the emails. She went to Twitter and said, block Amber Krabich, because she's asking questions about elections like, hey, is it okay to leave a bunch of boxes of ballots sitting in a parking lot for a couple of hours? Is that okay? Is that chain of custody? So even on a local level, this happened. But listen to Stacey Plaskett as she lies and then gets caught lying here in cut number 12.
I thank the gentlelady for yielding. I just think this is interesting. First, the FTC is asking for your background. And now the ranking member of the Committee on the Weaponization of Government is asking for your sources.
If I never asked them for their sources.
Yes,
I did not ask for sources.
Well, there's audio of her asking for their sources.
Who gave you access to these emails?
There it is.
Who was the individual that gave you permission to access the emails?
Well, the attribution from my story is sources at Twitter, and that's what I'm going to refer to.
Okay. Did Mr. Musk contact you, Mr. Taibbi?
Again, the attribution from my story is sources at Twitter.
She's right there doing it. They know. A lot of them know. Their allegations and their principles, their policies, cannot stand up to even the slightest scratching upon the surface. It reveals that it's not brass. It's all lies. The apparatus that's been built should be deconstructed, and it should be banned. And the people who practiced it should be brought before a court for actually violating our civil rights in these joint state actions. But one other thing. Do we believe that this doesn't happen in newsrooms? And I'll tell you why I asked that. Barack Obama, President Obama, had floated the idea of putting government observers in newsrooms to see, to determine if news was being reported fairly or not. Government observers. We also know about the coordination between the CDC and TV shows. They made a point to get in front of every producer of every talk show to push the injections. We have everything we need because they made themselves federal vendors. We could go investigate that, and we should. It's Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
It's Todd Herman filling in for Dana. You can get the Dana Show podcast wherever you get podcasts. That way you can go have the Dana experience when even a lowly filling like me is here. We're going to do this segment on Florida. I have to give thanks to Florida Man. I know that's controversial because we're to make fun of Florida Man. And we're going to do that. And Florida Woman, too. I got my life saved by Florida Man because I was down in Plantation Island, Florida, and had a break in a event we were doing. And I'd never swum in the Atlantic Ocean. And one of my big fears in life was being et by a shark. But I overcame it and went swimming in the Atlantic Ocean. And I'm out there swimming. And it is so beautiful. And I could float and it's warm water. And then I saw this thing floating. And well, what's that? And I realized it's not really floating. It's amputating. So I got out of the water, put my glasses back on, and I'm watching this. And I'd convinced myself that's a dolphin. And then Florida Man came up, legitimately Southern accent came up and said, "Boy, what are you looking at?" I said, "I'm looking at that dolphin." He goes, "Son, that ain't no dolphin. That's a shark. You swimming in that water?" "Yes, sir." "Don't swim in that water. That's stupid. Where are you from?" Seattle shook his head. Florida Man saved me. So let's roll the theme for Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Look, in defense of Florida Man, do they still do the thing down there where you can roll up and buy a margarita on the go? Because that might contribute to some of this. There's a guy who decided to get naked and then walk about the city streets. And he looks the way you would expect him to look of a guy who's walking in the streets, which is someone who's had a hard life and is probably under the boot of many, many of the chemicals that, of course, the left wants to flow freely around. So our neighbors end up this way. His name is Jason Smith. He's 44 years old. He's walking around naked, and of course, you're not to do that. So the police stopped him, and he had a very good excuse. And this is solid because they said, "Where's your ID? I don't know. Where are your clothes? Don't know. Don't know where my clothes are. You have a social security name or a social security number? No." And that sounds very suspicious because why would you have that? Then he informed them that he's actually from a different planet. Well, that explains everything. Because in the era of being able to identify yourself out of biology, why couldn't you identify yourself out of your origin of or species of origin? Now, I don't know Florida very well, but he later did tell them the name of the separate planet, and it's West Palm Beach. I'd heard that was a nice place. Apparently, it counts as a separate world. There's also this from Florida Man News. A man was arrested. And he stole a bunch of stuff, but it's only $950 worth of stuff. I mean, in the era of big thefts and, you know, our government with big thefts, et cetera, and pharma stealing money from us, et cetera, it's $950. This, I don't even know why it's made the news. Well, except for this. It's $950 worth of shrimp and lobster tails. A number of questions arise here. Did you also steal a diesel, you know, freezer truck to store those things in? And would a proper punishment be eat it? Back in the day, one of the proper punishments where I grew up, and I grew up in the North Idaho, Eastern Washington area, so I got some redneck in me myself, Idaho, comma, man, one of the punishments back in the day is, oh, you like to smoke cigarettes. Oh, well, I'll buy you a carton and I'll set you behind this table and I'll sit here and I'll light up every single one of them for you until you get the taste that you don't really like cigarettes much. Now, that's super dangerous and bad. But maybe we could do that here. A Florida stripper was arrested. Now, it's not for taking her clothes off, which I guess you could construe to be a constitutional right. It's a sad one to me. Sad that people do that, and sad that some people have been put in that position. But she got arrested for defending herself by throwing a wad of money at a man. Now, again, God protect people who've put themselves in that position, who've been thrust into that position of stripping for money. But you're throwing the money back at the dude? I don't know that that makes a tremendous amount of sense. But then again, we are talking about Florida, man and Florida woman. And I want to balance this all out by saying there's strange things all around the country. It's not just Florida. I was sharing with Stephen earlier. One of the things we do out here in North Idaho, and you're going to think this is nuts, is we get ourselves all up in bathing suits and we go down to the river. Now, I'm talking about in the middle of winter, more snow on the ground than you would think. And we walk into the river and we soak for between 5 and 20 minutes in 36 degree water. The day we were doing that, so actually I did it on my own. And shocker, apparently married couple came by with their cell phones looking at photos or something and caught my silhouette in the water alone. And the big concern from the gentleman was, are you alone in there? That was the shock. By the way, if you ever want to come soaking with me, I can't get anyone under the age of 40 to go soak themselves in river water. Very strange. More to come on The Dana Show. Todd Herman filling in. What's a cool feeling on this day that the Lord has made in these times through which God has decided we will live to fill in for Dana. My name is Todd Herman. It's a possibility that we've met, at least through the radio way of meeting. I spent about 10 years in Seattle doing a morning show there and was blessed to fill in for Maha, Rush Limbaugh, God rest you, Rush. And to be here with Dana, for Dana, is a remarkable thing because I'm sitting in the building where my radio show began. My radio career began. And I'm talking about 1994, 1995. And these full circle moments are, I think, important in life to recognize when you have that, unless they're sort of negative full circle moments. I'm reading some of the bios of some of the people involved in the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. And this is a people-driven event, as I've come to understand it through people I trust in finance. My friend Zach Abraham runs a company called Bulwark Capital Management, and I have him on my podcast once a week, and you can hear his analysis of this at thetoddhermanshow.com. He points to a systemic failure in the people we are hiring to be in high positions, and it makes sense. And in their defense, we have prepped an environment where enormous risk is rewarded without hanging out your own skin. See, there was a time when bankers were liable for big losses if it was fundamentally bad decision-making, or in the case of Silicon Valley Bank, as I understand it, a monumentally stupid decision to not have a risk manager or an executive on top of risk management in the States for about 9 months, and then to transfer that job to have someone filling in whose corporate bio, and I want to make sure that we understand the depth of this, her corporate bio is focused upon social justice issues. I'm reading from apparently their website, J.S. Rapaha, it's a hard name to say for me, head of financial risk management and model risk, Silicon Valley Bank UK Limited. This is what is written about her on this website. The phrase, you can't be what you can't see, resonates with me. As a queer person of color and a first-generation immigrant from a working-class background, there were not so many roles for me to see growing up. I feel privileged to co-chair the LGB so-called T plus Q ERG. That should be board or something. It doesn't say that. It is all about her focus raising awareness that women who prefer to have sex with women exist. We know this. In her defense, she is, in a modern sense, the perfect person for risk management. Now, apparently she was heads down on working on a month-long event for so-called lesbian visibility month, because lesbians lack visibility. No one knows they're there. So if she's heads down on that, she's not looking at risk, except for this. Her existence at this bank is a form of risk management if you buy in to the ESG culture, environment, social justice, and governance. And here's what I mean. That bit of nonsense recalibrated how we look at the health of companies. It took away the mathematical model, that is the observable, testable, falsifiable, rational model of spreadsheets and profit and loss. It took that away and replaced it with feelings. ESG is environment, social justice, and governance, and it replaced it with feelings. So the risk became we might be boycotted if we do not hire people like her. If we do not loudly enough proclaim our thrill at the new sexual and chemical revolution in kids and in others, if we're not sufficiently supportive of that stuff, we might get boycotted. That's the risk. So her existence was her job in that regard. Now, the fact is, fundamentally, there are people who manage money who've looked back at this and said, this never, ever, ever had to happen. So the figurehead Biden, he's going to do a form of a bailout, and not the bank, not the shareholders, but depositors who didn't have insurance because they had put in more than $250,000. I want to talk about that in just a second. I want to go to one other person here. Remember I said full circle moments? I was talking about I'm in this radio station where I began my broadcasting career all those years ago. Full circle moment. Joseph Gentile is apparently the chief administrative officer at Silicon Valley Bank Securities. Joseph was also the chief financial officer for Lehman Brothers Global Investment Bank, which ran into a bit of trouble. As you recall, now I'm not blaming Joseph. I don't know what his role was in this. I am blaming the risk manager because it was elemental. You took almost half your $200 billion portfolio. You bought mortgages at very low interest rates. The interest rates were climbing. The best way to explain this, as I've grown to understand it, is this would be like you're in a boat. Like so you're in a 60-foot tall boat, and you're down below. And you say, hey, the hole is leaking. There's 6 inches of water down there. And the captain says, no problem. We'll just keep going. Yeah, but there's water. Yeah, it's fine. It's just 6 inches. And then you go back down and you say, hey, it's now 60 inches. Yeah, this is a 60-foot boat. We're fine. You go back and then they say it's 6 feet. Like, hey, quit bugging me. Or you can come back when it's 66 feet. Anywhere along the line, when interest rates went to 3%, 3.25, 3.5, 4%, they could have balanced their portfolio. They could have mitigated their risk. And you know what would have cost them? According to my friend Zach, it would have cost them $1 billion. If they bought an instrument called volatility, if they did that. So the big question is, are we going to admit that hiring people to be social justice warriors is not the way to protect the investments of people? It is not risk management. It is not rational, nor is it fair to them. I'm going to bet that young woman is entirely unprepared to actually manage risk, but why would she be when she's come out of schools that are making unrational what used to be rational? Math is a very rational thing. So now we get to the figureheads action. And they intend to bail out the depositors, even though they didn't have insurance, above $250,000. Interestingly, most of the depositors there didn't have insurance, 98% of them. Who are those depositors for the most part? You know who they are? Some of the most financially savvy people in the world. If you get, because they're startups, if you are a venture-backed startup, that initial investment went through a series of CFOs to even get into your hands. If you're a venture capital-backed company, you have a CFO who is a big-time CFO. Then you have the CFOs at the banks. None of this stopped it. So we're really going to now have others pay for the bad decisions of people who are sophisticated enough to know better. And of course, lurking in the background of all this is Orange Man. Because clearly everything I've described is the fault of Donald Trump, as ABC's Martha Raddatz says here in cut number 15.
Senator, after the financial crisis in 2008, regulations were put into place to make sure banks could weather large losses. Under President Trump, some of those were rolled back. And in 2018, you were one of only 17 Democrats who voted for the bill that rolled back some banking rules, including for institutions the size of Silicon Valley Bank. Silicon Valley Bank was under closer watch, closer scrutiny before that bill was signed into law by President Trump. Do you regret that vote?
Did anything I just described really convince you that regulation would stop it? Because when it's something as elemental as the boat is leaking, let's go back to the dock, but no one's paying attention because they're very, very busy. Let's go back to the boat metaphor. You know, the captain is very, very busy playing video games rather than realizing that the boat is leaking. Is really regulation going to stop that? No. Incidentally, another bank has failed and the feds have stepped in. I think it's called Republic Bank in New York. And hey, guess who's on the board? Barney Frank. Can I tell you a Barney Frank story I love people to know about? You speak of financial decisions in government. I got to give a speech, an address, to a group of insiders in Washington, D.C. when I worked there. And it's the K Street types, lobbyists, PR people. And Barney Frank had been speaking. And my friend Trevor said, Todd, please, I beg you, be polite. I beg you to be polite. I know Barney Frank. I know you don't like him. I know you don't like his politics. Please be polite. So Barney Frank got asked this question at the end of his speech. Guy from K Street, nice, beautiful suit, beautiful watch. Hey, I'm wondering about the Greek bonds situation. This is when we were getting ready to give Greece money. And Barney Frank said that if I were a rich man, I would buy Greek bonds. I can't do a Barney Frank imitation. If I were a rich man, I would buy Greek bonds. Because as of this morning, Greece is officially too big to fail. Sounds like my Fauci. So that's what he said. I get up to give my speech. They introduce me. It's the days of the BlackBerry. I take out my BlackBerry and I'm typing away and I go, gosh, guys, I'm so sorry, folks. I apologize. This is very, very important. I'll be with you in just a second. Barney Frank's still in the room. My friend Trevor is sweating bullets. I'm on the phone and I go, okay, all right, sorry about that. I just bought about 50,000 in Greek bonds. Let's hear it for insider trading. Ladies and gentlemen, insider trading and Congressman Barney Frank. And by the way, people started to clap and they wanted to do a standing ovation. Then someone said, he's making fun of us. Yeah, I'm actually calling out the structural problems. That's not regulation won't stop that. It's a sin problem. It's a stealing problem. It's a theft problem. That stuff's always going to be with us, which is why we all need redemption. It's Todd Herman filling in on the Dana Show. Remember, you can get our podcast everywhere you get podcasts. We'll come back with the Quick Five on the Dana Show.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep. You are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe. The Dana Show.
Hey, it's Todd Herman filling in for Dana today. Great pleasure to do that. You can go to danalash.com and subscribe to Chapter and Verse newsletter on Substack. If I could write like Dana, I'd sit around writing stuff all day. I write it to entertain myself. Such a gifted writer. So you go to danalash.com, subscribe to that. And Substack is also a fantastic free speech program. I have a website called thetoddhermanshow.com. You can subscribe to the podcast I do there, which is weekdays, about 2.5 hours of content every day there. And we are going to roll the theme for the very famous, sought after, trademarked, and don't even try to steal it. Because it's stealing, plus the lawyers smack you down. This is the theme for the Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
You've probably been asking yourself a question about modern humanity, and that is, are people getting dumber? I think it's a tempting question. It's something to entertain. It's something certainly to ponder. But what if I could say the fact is they are? There is a pretty intense study, and it's very geeky, and it doesn't make great radio to go into all of the methodologies, but it measured IQ differences in people. For the first time since they've been tracking this, they are actually seeing a drop in IQ between the people ages 18 to 22. The growth in IQ, by the way, is called the Flynn effect, and they're also seeing a reverse Flynn effect across all levels of educational attainment, with the rate of decreasing scores being steeper for those with less than a four-year college degree. Now, there's a number of reasons that I think this might be happening. IQ is a function of attention, right? You build intelligence by paying attention to your surroundings. And part of paying attention is having the ability to look at something for less than a minute. Hold on, I lost my train of thought. Oh, I'm back. No, and so, I mean, that would be like reading books or stuff like that rather than playing video games. But who gets rich doing that? You know, reading books. On the topic of studies, there's another study by a couple of scientists, Dan Kahneman, a Nobel Prize-winning economist and psychologist. He looked at money making people happy. There was this old belief that if you earned up to $75,000, it made you happier. But it stopped at $75,000. No, that's not true anymore. Apparently, according to this, another scientist looked at this in 2021 named Matthew Killingsworth. He's a happiness researcher at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, found out that, no, it doesn't plateau. It goes up to $200,000, and now you're still getting happier. My question is, yeah, but what is their definition of happy? Does it mean at peace? Does it mean of good conscience? Because, man, I can tell you, I've done some things in my life. While I was doing them, I was plenty happy, but the aftermath? Not as happy. So there are different ways to measure happiness, such as how cued in you are to your eternal soul. But that's just me. That's just me. Colin Kaepernick. Last week, you heard him talk about his racist white parents. It's fascinating. CBS This Morning thought his book, accusing his parents of racism effectively, was about empowerment. I don't agree. I don't think that's an empowering idea. He is very, very upset about his family and their problematic race behavior. But he has not written a book about slave labor in China. So he's bemoaned his upbringing, and which resulted, of course, in him being a successful athlete and a very rich man, and presumably happy because he's got all this money. But he doesn't talk about child labor. That would be an interesting book from him. But then again, there's no racism involved in that in China, but with the Uyghurs and all. That's not race, right? There is, from Canada, an encouraging sign. Canada is a country that is far ahead of us in stifling free speech, but a judge in Quebec has said that giving the middle finger is a God-given right. Now, my reading of the Bible is we're not to go around spewing profanity, but we do have the finger. It is in the middle, and we are able to raise it. And I guess it's up to the person to whom it's been raised to determine the meaning of said raise. It certainly is our right. God is pro-free speech. There is news in music. And it's encouraging news. This means that people are, in fact, fighting back against their IQ dropping. Vinyl records have outsold CDs for the first time since 1987. I will now state a scientific fact that is observable, testable, falsifiable, and inarguable. I'm old, and I can tell you right now that listening to Rubber Soul on LP is monumentally better than CD. CD can have sound quality, but it doesn't have soul in it. There are certain records that simply transcend platform. They can't be repeated in digital audio tape. They can't be repeated in streaming. Also, it is a great, great harm and probably has freaked out people's IQs that you don't get to look at the liner notes. Having records and being able to read those things, that was one of the great pleasures of ever being a music fan. Oh, incidentally, I've got about 400 records. Sell them to you. I'm just kidding. Wouldn't sell them for life. We'll come back on The Dana Show with the January 6th insanity. It's Todd Herman filling in on The Dana Show.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
It's Todd Herman filling in for Dana Lash on The Dana Show. And please go get her podcast so that you always have access to her. Just search that wherever you get podcasts. When did you, or have you, lost trust in the FBI? And serious question, emotional question. How sad did that make you if that happened to you? It made me tremendously sad because I want to trust that we have a national police force to the degree that we should have a national police force. And the FBI, I think, is that. But my distrust in the FBI began to grow a number of years ago and has become very, very profound. And I always do this because I want to separate FBI agents on the street versus the machine in D.C., because I have been honored to have a number of FBI agents and federal prosecutors, for a matter of fact, listen to my radio show back in the day and now the podcast, and I consider them friends because we've corresponded. And in fact, sometimes we've worked on stories together. They see it too. And the distrust of institutions is a hard thing, I think, for someone who's in the opinion business, particularly the political opinion business. And I'll tell you why. It's because I do distrust these institutions. And one of the goals of organizations that want to see the United States collapse is that we distrust our institutions. So it's a Gordian knot, if you will, which is you loosen one side, the other side tightens. If we don't talk about what's made these institutions untrustworthy, then they get away with it. If we talk about it, then we tend to just drive distrust into people. So one of the things I hope to give people hope on is this. Our system is not breaking. The Constitution is flawed. All human creations are flawed. But it is the best governing document that exists. It's simply not being consulted. It's not being used. It's being steered around. So when our systems are under attack in some ways, in other ways, there's just brutal levels of incompetence and hubris, and those things combine, and the evil, scheming people who want to collapse the system to build it again in their image take advantage of the people who are incompetent to get that done. This is a long way of getting to the January 6th hearings that continue. Julie Kelly writes at American Greatness. She has done brilliant work on this. And we're back to this now. The Department of Justice once again wants to hide portions of their work, in this case, an FBI spreadsheet and cross-examination of an FBI agent who produced this document. Why would they want to look at this? Because the FBI is apparently falsifying evidence. And the DOJ is coming in with a number of ridiculous responses as to why people should not be allowed to see this. That is, the lawyers for the people being accused should not be allowed to see it. And Julie tracks this down and continues to be, I think, the journalist most interested in providing at least fairness for this. So some of the lame excuses that she called out on why agents discussed doctoring a document are so perverse and so fascinating. Let's just say it in a quick couple of sentences. As the court knows, Agent Miller was examined as follows. Did she withhold link messages from the prosecutors about whether inaccurate CHS-related information should be disclosed to the defense? The government's production on March 10 showed that Miller had deleted her link message in the following exchange with another agent involved in the investigation. This is falsification of evidence. This is law-breaking at a very serious level because people's lives hang in the balance. You're talking about people facing 86 years in prison. A couple of members of the Oath Keepers who were on video helping cops. Let me underline, italicize, and bold that. On video helping cops. Not enacting violence. Their lives hang in the balance. 86 years in prison for that. Mike Pence is back to really going after Trump on this. That this is all Trump's fault. Well, you could say, okay, spicy rhetoric. Except for the president said, peacefully proceed, patriotically, don't go confront the cops. What I'm far more interested in is not what a politician said. Politicians say things. We know that Bernie Sanders said that the Republican health care plan was killing millions of Americans today. We know that Nancy Pelosi said this. We know that they said all the things about, I don't know why there's not riots in the street. They need to take to the streets. I don't know why there's not this level of going to the streets and get up in their faces. And we know all that. I'm interested in a law enforcement agency falsifying evidence against defendants. Not only because it's unfair to the defendants, but because it will destroy society. Here's what I mean. A low trust society happens when people observe the fact that other people don't follow the law. People follow laws not because they're afraid of getting caught. We all understand mathematically we're unlikely to get caught. People follow it because it's a societal norm. And when that societal norm breaks down and not everyone follows the law, people say, well, why am I this sucker following the law? And media plays a great, great, huge part of this, in the role in this, the Mockingbird media. You know about this guy that they call the QAnon shaman. And I'm not here to tell you I think he's someone special. I'm not here to tell he's not. I don't know the guy. I think it was a bad decision to go into that building. But then again, a lot of people were welcomed into that building. And a lot of people went in because they thought they were welcomed in because they were welcomed in. Tucker Carlson played, of course, the video of this guy being escorted around by the police and 11 of them. And yeah, it's 4 minutes. It's also 4 minutes of them not arresting him. It is 4 minutes of him being walked around. And here's how the fact checkers approached this. Lead story said, fact check, no evidence Jacob Chansley, the QAnon shaman, was led through the Capitol by police the entire time he was in the building. So they add that so that they can make their fact check more facty. Even though, of course, video evidence does exist that he was escorted around. I don't think Tucker Carlson said the entire time he was there. PolitiFact. Evidence rebuts Tucker Carlson's claim about Capitol Police acting as tour guides. So maybe they weren't being official tour guides, but they were opening doors for him. The Mockingbird media, I beg you to understand, you are part of the development of a low-trust society. When we understand that fact checks aren't, what are you going to do when you actually need to warn us about something serious? What are you going to do when you actually have information that is so vital to this country that we have to believe you? How are you going to get us to believe you? We mean it this time? Now with more fact. The fact checkers AFP said, Tucker Carlson falsely claims police helped Trump supporter. They opened door for him. That's a form of help. And again, I'm not here to be his lawyer. I'm here to talk about and to beg people to recognize that we're entering into this low trust society. If we went back to constitutional norms, we wouldn't have this. Jacob Chansley, there's a video of him that has reemerged. It is him reading the president's tweet. Listen to this in cut 16.
Respect our landmarks. Respect the Capitol.
Get out of here, guys.
You know what?
He said he saw it on his Twitter.
That's an effort to employ in this. Yes, respect for President Trump. Someone else saying respect the institutions. That is a portion of this that somehow the January 6th committee never found their way to bringing up to people. Never found a way to bring this evidence up. And this goes right back into the low trust society. So I asked you, when did you, if you did, begin to lose trust in the FBI? Want to know when I did? When about 10 years after Timothy McVeigh was rightly convicted of the horrendous murders he committed in Oklahoma City with Terry Nichols, when the FBI found out that a California-based congressman was going to do an investigation into that, and the FBI said, we've dotted every T, we've dotted every I, crossed every T, every detail's been looked at. And then they said, oh, wait, don't!
Stupid FBI, we forgot to check Terry Nichols' house.
But 10 years later, they went and said, oh, wow, there's a bunch of explosives here in the house of Terry Nichols. Well, darn it, look at that there. Oh, then there's this. They made an effort, successful, to make sure that we never saw the video of Timothy McVeigh getting out of the rental truck. Why would they do that? It happens that there was a book by a brave journalist, investigative journalist, award-winning. On the jacket was an endorsement from a former FBI head who made the case there was a third terrorist. You might be too young to remember that event, the terrorist attack and the terrible murders in Oklahoma City. But yeah, they were for a long time, or not for a few days, obsessed with finding a third terrorist, a man who looked to be of Middle Eastern descent. Jaina Davis's book has, I think, 22 signed affidavits from people saying, we saw Timothy McVeigh with a third person. Guy who ran a rental truck agency, the rental truck agency, where Timothy McVeigh rented what you might call part of the murder weapon, said he was here with that guy. The video evidence would show whether or not McVeigh was with that guy. They withheld that. Now, I'm not saying there's a connection to this, because that would require a connection, like Merrick Garland. Yeah, Merrick Garland was brought in to clean up the effort in the Oklahoma City trial. It's Merrick Garland who didn't want this video released. Neither did Mitch McConnell. It's Todd Herman. You can get my podcast at toddhermanshow.com. We'll come back with Today in Stupidity on The Dana Show.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, it's Todd Herman. Been my pleasure and honor today to fill in for Dana Lash. And so much to say if we look back to the show. And I know radio is a tune-in, tune-out business, so I also know that you listen to Dana's show on podcast. You get to the heart of the whole thing, everything she talks about. And you go observe her writing at danalash.com and Chapin Burst newsletter. Today, we've covered a lot of ground, but I feel like there's a through line. It's what they call it in Hollywood. And the through line is this. We've talked about the terrible, stupid decision-making around Silicon Valley Bank, which fundamentals of balancing portfolios at that level would have indicated you just bought $88 billion of something. You need to have a hedge position in case that goes bad. They didn't do that. All the eggs in one basket. Never do that in sophisticated finance, even in our own finances. We talked about the CDC and Tony Fauci saying, I can't understand for the life of me why anyone would ever want to see me taken before a court of law and possibly put in prison. What have I possibly done? Well, we went through all of the irresponsible, hubris, ego-driven things that Tony Fauci did and continues to do. We talked about January 6th, and we talked about this easy thing to have lost trust in the FBI and not wanting to lose trust in the FBI. So the through line to me is this. We live in a time where evil is being called good and good is being called evil. Number one, God warned us it would get weird. That's not quite an exact quote from the Bible. It will get weird, but said days like this would be here, and he'd still be there, and he always was and always is. But there's also this. The cure in our world, in our country, is to return to the principles of you broke it, you fix it. To return to the principles of speaking truth. And Dana does that every day and does it so enormously well. And that is to call a thing what a thing is. That is to not be drawn into speaking lies. And also to recognize that it is so incredibly easy to hate people you've never met. Oh, I hate them. It's so hard to hate people you've met. To hate Bob or to hate Sally, and we're called to love. Right? So we're also being divided. Well, we don't have to be, not in our hearts. So that's a through line. There is, though, always in society, there are people who are going to say things that are so stupid and so driven from ignorance. And like it's easy to hate people you've never met, it's real easy to hate a book you've never really studied. This happens a lot in Hollywood. Stephen Colbert did that. I want you to hear that when we go through Today in Stupidity.
The GOP quickly rejected Biden's budget because they prefer deep cuts to health care, food assistance, and housing programs for poor Americans. Yes. Now, it just reflects the bedrock Judeo-Christian values of the Republican Party and echoes the words of our Lord. For I was hungry, and you said, hey, who gave you that free food? Slap that fish out of his dirty little mouth.
Hey, listen, when your religion is government and your sacrament is taxation and the priests of your religion are people on the left and you live in the world where it's Pharisee and you're never to disagree with the priests, the lawgivers, then that all makes a lot of sense. Until you realize what Jesus actually said when he said, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's. He was saying, I don't care. Yeah, Romans 13, we're to follow the authorities. True. There's also this. The times when the apostles didn't follow the authorities is when they were told to deny the word of God. Well, we're being taxed for abortion. We're being taxed to chemically and surgically mutilate kids. We're being taxed to pay for theft and utter corruption. We have a right to question those taxes. Furthermore, it's on us. The caring is on our shoulders. We're called to do that directly, not through intermediaries. Because charity always is always better for the recipient because they know it came through love. For the people who give because then we're actually giving. What an honor to fill in for Dana today. It's Todd Herman. Please go be well, be strong, be kind, make every effort to be right with God. And thank you to this team of the incredible Dana Show. Love you.